Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Welcome to Accept It As I Am on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, brought to you on the fourth Thursday monthly from 10 to 11 a.m. Accept It As I Am is hosted by Barbara White. Barbara is a best-selling author, workshop leader, and the founder of the Accept It As I Am process. She owns a healing center in the Detroit metro area, and she is affectionately called a midwife for your soul. Guided by spirit, Barbara effortlessly brings you into the presence of God's love and ignites within you the knowing of your own self-inherent worth. To connect with Barbara, you can visit her site at www.acceptedasiam.com. And to connect with her right now, you can call into the show at 1-646-378-0378. And now for your host, Barbara White.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Accept It As I Am Blog Talk Radio Show. Thank you to everyone who makes this possible. Thank you for Courtney on the other line. Thank you for Penny. Thank you to Body, Mind, Spirit Guide. Just feeling really thankful and grateful for the opportunity to be with you today, and deeply respect and deeply honor your journey and your continued willingness to grow and to look within and to discover that you, that true self that is united with God, united with creation. When you discover your true self, that the true self and the God self are the same thing. Now, this is not anything that that statement's not anything I made up. It's actually said in, I can get the exact part of the Bible if you'd like, but Luke, I don't know. I'll look it up in a minute. It's a quote from the immortal diamond, Richard Rohr, who, if you've listened to other shows, you know I'm a fan of his. He's a Catholic priest who speaks much about the power of love and the power of really true love of ourself and others, and how that is not, that's not sacrilegious, that's not anti-Christian, that it's really, it goes along with the true teachings of all religions, really, and Christianity, of course. So, welcome. Thank you for having the courage to look within again and to allow the Earth Mother and the Earth Angels to infuse you with greater love, greater joy, and remind you of your true essential nature. As always, when we join together on the show, we know that there is no time and space. So whether you're listening to this years after the recording or you're listening right now live, we know that you've been called to this message, this energy for a reason. And there is no coincidences, right? That there is an order, a harmony, a grace that's functioning not only in your body, evidence of when you see something heal, but in your heart, in your life. So in the Accepted As I Am show, we begin with the awareness that we're already whole, we're already complete, and we're not trying to get anything. We're more about letting. So versus getting, we're about letting. Which I've seen and makes a huge difference in personal growth and spiritual evolution of the intent that we begin with. That intent of, am I really coming from a place of wanting to unfold, to be in communion, or am I anxiously trying to get something outside of me? Am I anxiously thinking that Barbara or this book or this next retreat or this rock or this herb or this drug has the answers that I need? And, you know, we really got to be honest with ourselves, right? Because there's times that that will come up. We're never done and we're never complete, meaning the universe is expanding and so are we. It's so common in myself and in the hundreds of people that I've had the honor and privilege of supporting that when a piece comes up that we didn't know was there. The first thing is, you know, the first thought that is usually, I thought I was over this. And then the next thought, if we don't catch that thought, is, something's wrong with me or did something wrong or I am wrong, right? Because then it can go into the shame spiral. This one piece in our growth, actually it's two pieces, one beginning from a place of wholeness, but two knowing we're never done and never complete. I remember when I was in my 20s, I approached my spiritual growth kind of like a CrossFit exercise. If you're not familiar with CrossFit, which I love, by the way, if you're body aware and you've got a really good coach, but you really need those two things, and it really depends on the gym you go to, I found. But anyways, CrossFit is this intense, it's almost, I see it like playing on a playground, actually, because you get to like swing tires and you get to run back and forth and jump up and down on boxes. And for me, it's just fun. I find it hilarious and fun and I think it's great, but it's very intense. So you do all these like 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, and you do it in 12 minutes, you know? See, it makes me laugh every time. I don't know why it makes me laugh. It just does. Even when every time I'm there, everyone's like, ooh, and all serious about it, and then it just cracks me up even more. But it also cracks me up of how I used to approach my spiritual growth. I could see that, and I see that in a lot of, and I really think this is the new coming, the new emergence right now, is all these 20-somethings that are, I mean, it's such a potent time. I was working with a 20-something-year-old the other day, and she was having so much growth. I mean, when you're in your 20s, like every 3 weeks, you become a different version of yourself. I think that happens still as you continue to grow, but it's more like every 3 months, and it's, the highs and lows aren't so high and aren't so low. And anyways, I was working with her the other day, and she came to the other side of really seeing the opportunity and the good that was emerging in her life. And she said, wow, 20s are kind of like dog years, aren't they? Every year, 7 years, get it? I think it's funny. So it's being aware that we're never done and never complete and always growing. You know, it's that holding that space that is beyond these two things, so beyond duality, but includes these two things. And the two things are knowing that we are gifted and talented and powerful, and at the same time, we are learning, growing babies, sometimes not so nice babies, sometimes innocent dancing babies. And those two things are not separate. I mean, for me, that was the message of Christ, that it wasn't about, you know, when we see Jesus as divine, we kind of miss the whole message of his incarnation. His whole message, I believe, was that the human and the spirit, the human and divine, are together. Like, when we miss his humanness, we miss the doorway that's really being provided for us. As soon as we put Jesus or Buddha or Muhammad or Shiva or you name it, up on a shelf that's kind of unreachable, we spiritually bypass our own growth. We move into transcendence that doesn't really allow an embodiment, an anchoring, a full benefit of this precious, precious human incarnation. This is a precious human incarnation. I have images of people fighting to be incarnated on the earth because the earth holds such duality. In this dimension, in this incarnation of earth, there's such duality. And we get a choice, right? We have free will. Where you see animals and they naturally, unless they've been domesticated, or genetically modified, they naturally know how to be present and blossom. Or if they've experienced some trauma, that can. So there's exceptions, unfortunately. But normally, in general, animals know how to be present and alive. They know how to flower. They know how to blossom. But us as humans really have the option to blossom or not, don't we? Isn't that kind of curious? So with every show, I give you processes, meditations, and really ways to experience love, spirit, God as yourself. You're going to hear some echoing and stepping because I'm going to go get that book so I can tell you the quote. And maybe I'll find it. Maybe I won't. I hope I do. But if I don't, then I know you got the point. You're a smart person. Because a lot of what I do on the show, I also do in sessions, and I also do in retreats, is first I like to get your mind on board in a way. Kind of frame it and structure it so it's like, okay, this is what we're talking about. This is what we're approaching. Kind of, as I've joked over the years, it's giving the mind a bone to chew on. Yeah, I said it, give the mind a bone to chew on. And then once we do that, though, then the real healing can happen. Because real healing is about yielding, letting go to who and what we truly are. So whatever kind of dance we need to get there, whether we need to chant, which is effective, or pray, or read inspirational material, or read the Bible, or listen to an inspirational radio show. Whatever we need to get there, to get to our mind to a place, so just at that edge of opening up, of letting go. And then that gives us a place to let go to what we already are. The only problem with that, right, is when we confuse the dance or we confuse the method that we used as the actual endpoint. What do I mean by that? Well, it's kind of like if you were sick and you took an antibiotic. You weren't really fond of golden seal or astragalus or echinacea or whatever. You liked your antibiotics. So you took your antibiotics. And then once you got better, you said, you know what? I'm going to keep on taking this antibiotic. And not only that, I'm going to put this antibiotic on my altar and I'm going to pray to it. Do you see what I mean? And what I mean is, if you put some thought there, I just pause for a second to digest for y'all to digest that, is that process we use, whatever it is, to yield, to let go to what we already are, to be ourselves. And sometimes the methodology, whatever it is, the antibiotic, the meditation, the chant, the prayer, the religion, we confuse that as the God, or as the, instead of being a thing that leads us to something, we stay in being led. There's a Ricky Byers Beckwith, if you've ever listened to her music, the song, I Feel Like Letting Go, Let Go, Let God. Oh, I Feel Like Letting Go is, I believe, the chorus. Again, I usually change a word or so when I quote something, which is fine. But she says a statement there that I love. It says, drop your tools and follow me. Drop your tools. And why self-acceptance is so powerful, which I can't believe I actually wrote that in my 20s. It blows me away. it's like I already knew it, and then I had to emotionally mature to catch up to it. My personality had to catch up with my soul, or catch up with what God was expressing in, through, and as me. But I talked in there about, I think it was in that book or another one, I don't know, but it talked about using the tool to lose the tool. Use the tool to lose the tool. See, because you already have it. I already have it. And if you keep on looking, the paradox, of course, is you never find it. But you actually have to look initially, right? You have to have the initial, because the moment you look for it, you realize that you already have it, right? Because what you're looking for, you're looking with. You know, that metaphysical principle, what I'm looking for, I'm actually looking with. I did find that quote, by the way. I'll just read you. This is from Immortal Diamond by Richard Rohr. I just love this part. I've actually reread his book about 3 times. I rarely do that, but I just love his quotes. In the practical order of experience, self-knowledge and God-knowledge will be experienced as the same knowing and will proceed forward in parallel fashion. There's a clear affinity between human intimacy and divine intimacy, which we'll discuss. Da-da-da. How you know anything is how you know everything. With that, we are getting much deeper than our diamond mind. Paul says the same. Then you shall know as fully as you are known. Corinthians 13:12. And finally in John 3:2, transfers it all to the end of time. All we know is that when it is revealed, we shall all be like him. And in the life you already have is hidden within Christ and God. Your experience of your deepest, truest self and your deepest experience of God will prove one another right and prove one another good. Neither of them will go deep or true, however, without the knife edge of your own honest experience, which will cut you wide open in all directions. You have nothing to be afraid of as long as you do not start or end with fear, accusation, and judgment. Beautiful, huh? And you may be asking, okay, I'm hearing that my connection to my true self is God, that God and I are one. That when I really touch my true essential self, I yield to that, I let go to that. I have found everything. I have found God. What does he mean about the knife's edge, right? Well, the knife's edge, the way I interpret that is that to really have a direct experience of our own darkness and our own light, to be able to be cut apart is to be able to create space, to be open to all parts of ourself. So no longer deny the tiny little parts that we try to keep away from ourself. It's much more mentally safe to identify as one role, one thing in life. I talk about this in the article for July, but I'll approach it saying the same thing, but saying it a little bit differently here. So you can read about it there in the magazine. Is that if we really have to look at and say, okay, what, maybe we've become a little too identified as spiritual. Have you thought of that? We've put the antibiotic up on the altar. I see that happening a lot. When I go to festivals that don't include a little bit of celebration, a little bit of authenticity, a little bit of humanness, it doesn't feel grounded and rooted in hearts. It feels very much in the upper chakras, but no lower chakras. And sure enough, people can be caught in the lower energy centers of really feeling that the 3D is the only reality and that miracles are something that happen randomly and synchronicities are something that just you dismiss and going to work, paying the bills, and that's it. You know, that's all there is. And anything that is beyond that is dismissed as woo-woo magic, maybe even new agey. But it's the very thing that is the power that can set us free, right? When we realize that We are part of that interconnected web, and that synchronicities are just being in that harmony, that flow, that grace. The miracles can really be happening in every moment. And I probably have them happen like once an hour. I can't say every moment. I had a miracle happen this morning. I'll tell you about it in a bit. So when we allow ourselves to yield deeper to that flow, to that grace, to that harmony, we're embracing all the things that the world has called weak. We're embracing all the things that the world has dismissed, the general public world. And there's a part of our mind that has done that, right? That really doubts our miracles for me. Can I really yield and let go and know that the stream of well-being, that the flow will carry me, and all my desires are really, they didn't originate in my brain. They originated in my spirit. What I'm looking for, I'm looking with. And at the same time, to be able to really experience that, to be in the knife's edge of that, is to be able to embrace our dark and our light parts. Now, why do I say dark and light? You know, why would it be hard to embrace your light parts? Well, those can scare us the most, right? When we really see the gifts that have been placed within us. It's taking me years to own that my voice is used by the angels and the Earth Mother, and it doesn't really belong to me. And that I've seen now for years in sessions and retreats, I start talking to people and they start spontaneously releasing. I can honestly say it doesn't scare me anymore because I'm in that space of it is what it is. It doesn't really make me go kind of in that high of woohoo. And it doesn't actually make me go into any fear, any low. It just kind of, it is what it is. It's that place I think a healer eventually gets to where they know they have these gifts, but they know their gifts don't belong to them. But there's a process when you're in your 20s of trying to own your gifts, know your worth, know your value, face a lot of insecurities. I mean, it's a fire that healers are, and you're all healers, by the way, if you're listening to this, you're a healer. Need to go through. We're all here to be healers on the planet, no matter if you're a healer disguised as an accountant or a healer disguised as a garbage man or a healer disguised as a mother, as a father, you know, those. So embracing our light has to be paired with two things. One, knowing, yeah, you've got it all already. You've got something that the planet really needs. You have an incredible gift to bring, even if you don't know what it is yet. Or you probably know what it is, but you just don't want to admit it. The mind will say, who do you think you are? Or don't be so arrogant. Or you'll begin to think it's, with great awareness and great gifts comes great responsibility. However, that statement, if you just take it in its small context, you don't realize that you are being acted through. Never, you can never act alone. Ten 10,000 generations stand behind you, stand with you. And those generations are right here. They're not only your familial relationships, meaning your ancestral line, but they're also the angels of the earth, and the earth angels and the animal angels, that there's a consciousness here that it, when you drop into your lower chakras, paired with your upper chakras. See, if someone, I'll go back to the light and dark chapter for a second. Let me just switch over, and I promise I'll come back. If you're trapped in your upper chakras, it means you have all sorts of incredible ideas, that you really do have a magnificent imagination. Maybe you're incredibly empathic, but you have trouble implementing it into your life because you need roots. You need more roots. But developing those roots, because the root chakra will hold a lot of fear, fear of this lifetime, possibly genetic fear. If your mom was a good warrior, you'll be a good warrior. Second chakra is your sexuality, your relationship to your body, right? So these are big issues of really bringing this into your body. We'll avoid root chakra issues by not being embodied, right? We just avoid that fear by disassociating and then trying to ground ourselves with maybe caffeine or alcohol or nicotine, or alcohol doesn't really ground, but stimulants. So stimulants, you get it. And then second chakra, of course, we'll try to avoid that grounding by trying to fix others, feeling responsible for others. Because the second chakra also holds a lot of body hate and body shame, which is actually pretty common on the planet. I mean, just look at our relationship to the body when you watch TV. That has seeped into it. We're born with that into the consciousness of the planet. Whether you're a male or female, you know, males tend to have, and this is a general, so I'm making a general statement, but I know that it's not all true. But males tend to have a war or kind of a war relationship with their body, right? Either master or victim. They feel very powerful in their 20s and 30s, but as their body's really saying, come into deeper relationship with me, because otherwise you're going to feel like a master to your body or a victim. And then in their 40s, they start to feel like a victim. Oh, my body's falling apart, right? Have you heard men say that? Whereas women, of course, we have a war relationship with our body too, but more on our self-worth. So if we, this, right? This is big, though. If we gain a few pounds, our self-worth goes down. I mean, that's pretty obvious. and whatever we judge or whatever we shame, we tend to do more of, right? So if we judge or shame ourselves for eating that bag of cookies or that really yummy, the ice cream I ate last night, that organic, don't usually do dairy, but it was happy dairy, so no cows were bashed over the head for it. Organic cappuccino ice cream. Oh my gosh, it was so good. I did not shame myself afterwards. So I have no fear of like repeating that this evening. But whatever we judge or shame, we're going to repeat. Because judge and shame, when I look at someone's energy, I just want to judge. When you judge something, you become it, right? So as soon as I judge myself for, let's say, eating that ice cream, I have to repeat that. However, the mind thinks that judgment and shame is getting control. Well, I have to judge myself. We're a punishment-based society. If you do bad, you're punished, right? We think that prevents people from doing bad things. However, our judicial system and our prison system show that's just not true. And indigenous cultures would have a ceremony when somebody did something wrong, they realized that it was from a lack of self-love, and they would surround them and celebrate them and tell them all the things that are wonderful about them. Imagine if we had that kind of support growing up when we, you know, came late from making out with a girlfriend or boyfriend or drank too many beers or stole something, and we were surrounded by our family and told how wonderful and lovable we were. Oh, thanks. You mean that relationship isn't going to replace the lack of love I feel in my heart? Just think if we had that kind of support. And we didn't, right? And I'm not making anyone wrong, but we do have to recognize how wounded we are as a society and take ownership over our part. All right, so I promised I'd circle back to the light and the dark. So the light, of course, is all those gifts that you hold, that you are more powerful than you can imagine. And the dark, of course, is our fears, our worries. But also what has to be in there is our beliefs. We have to put our beliefs in there. Because you can have deep spiritual experiences, but if it contradicts your belief, you can dismiss it, right? You can completely dismiss it. So I went and I attended a training for shamanic breath work, and what was the deepest experience for me kind of outside of the retreat was the land that it was on. And there's an area in this land where the stones, every stone has been placed intentionally, and it aligns with the meridians of the earth. So the earth has a meridian just like our physical body does. And it has many, many years of prayer that have been brought to this space, as well as it's aligned with other sacred sites. So just like our body has vortexes of called chakras, and then it has acupuncture points, the Earth Mother is no different. So she has chakras, and she has acupuncture points, and some have been closed and clogged up, just like our body. And some areas are very open, and so it's not like, again, we dismiss and we if we go to a place that has that sacredness, that power, the kind of patriarchal Newtonian way of looking at it would be like, oh, that's woo-woo. Oh, that's, you're giving, you know, that's a false god. That's magic. That's witchcraft. But how can we dismiss our relationship to all that God has created and call it these names? And wouldn't we want to interact with what these creations around us? Wouldn't we want to be in communion and relationship and really allow that intimate connection, that experience, that knife-edge connection, that direct connection with God as an experience? Well, I think part of you might say, well, yeah, wouldn't I want God as an experience? But however, if that contradicts your beliefs, or it brings up a piece that you don't know what to do with, some fear, some worry. You're like, okay, I don't know that feeling is healing. I don't know how to hold space. I don't know how to love myself. Then suppressing it back down may be the best thing for you in that moment until you have more support in your life. It's common if people don't have support, right? Emotional pieces come up, but if they don't have the support around them, then they need it. It will come back up, you know. Or creation never gives up on us. However, back to this place. So this place, it's out at Renora over by Benton Harbor in Watervliet. I'm actually planning on taking a group out there next year. So I'm going to do a 5 or 6 day retreat in beginning of May. And so I'll tell you more about that later. But this land is, so this particular space and land that it's very easy to connect to the earth angels, very easy, and to the nature direct connection, earth mother. And so I was talking with this group that we were doing the shamanic breath work, and the material was good. It wasn't framed very well, but there was no connection to nature at the shamanic retreat, which I found very, no going outside and actually directly experiencing nature. I found that really strange. It'd be like going to a Christian retreat, and I'm not talking about Jesus. It was really weird. So we first night we went outside, and I showed them the space, and everyone had these like direct experiences of the energy there. And I watched how these people had very visceral body experiences, but then a few of them dismissed it afterwards. Different ways of really denying what happened. And then some were like, cool, yeah, that was, you know, yes, there's this energy and this way of connecting directly to the Earth Mother or to creation or God or whatever you call it. Yeah, that's all right. Like, I have space for this in my life. Doesn't contradict some of my beliefs. So I want to read you a poem that is from, it's an amazing teacher, Bill Plotkin, P-L-O-T-K-I-N, and he talks about nature and the human soul. And he shows how we have skipped, that we as humans have the longest adolescence at any animal on the planet. And yet we don't have any ways of, our adolescence is so mishandled, right? We don't, unless you're Jewish in bar mitzvah, we don't have a rites of passage from childhood to adulthood. We don't have ways of really celebrating our body and our celebrating our sexuality in a way that's holy and safe container for men and for women. We don't really have rites of passage from that late teens to 20s where we begin to emerge as a full adult that can feel the calling of their human community and the non-human world to be of service. So then many of us wondering, what's my purpose? Why am I here? And I hope you hear this is probably the most important part of the entire radio show. If you're asking what's your purpose and why am I here, it's because you've had a stunted adolescence. There's parts of you, and I want to call them dark or light, but parts that need to be loved. Because if those parts aren't brought back into wholeness, those fragments, it's almost like your soul becomes fragmented. It looks like that in the energy. It's like these little pieces sitting outside of people's energy. It's very sad. It brings me sadness when I see that. But compassion, too, and of course, an incredible desire to serve. But these pieces that don't get ushered in, that are fragmented, if they're not loved, then we can't really access that direct experience with feeling creation and God in our bones and our cells and body, and we can't really feel that call to service. It's like we think about it, like we want it, we really want it. If you want it, it's there, right? What you're looking for, you're looking with. But we can't really tap into it in a way that is productive. So this poem I read. The privilege to refuse our flowering, from David White, from the Sun. I look out, and everything is growing so wild and faithfully beneath the sky, and wonder why we are the one terrible part of creation, privileged, to refuse our flowering. So self-love becomes really important, and working with a mentor or a holistic therapist to bring those fragmented parts of ourself back in. See, we can try to do it ourselves, but unless you have a really established nature a connection, or you have many years of training in self-love or self-acceptance, we're on this planet to help each other, right? That receiving love is not weak, it's powerful. And I wish I would have known that early on, to work with mentors and work with teachers, and that we are the only culture that somehow puts a prize on our forehead that thinks we have to do it all by ourselves, and that if we do it alone, somehow we're more powerful. Kind of John Wayne pioneer spirit. Now, definitely we need self-reliance, right? And to know that your own personal authority, your voice, is the most important voice to listen to. So we don't want to go to a mentor or teacher that is saying, I know better for you than you. And that's not so great. However, we do want a mentor or teacher guide that says, yeah, you know, I really feel strongly about this. I really suggest this. This is important. However, I also respect the decision that you make, what you feel right is for you. There's times that I feel really, I'll say something, saying, you know, this is really what I'm feeling and hearing, but they're like, well, no, it's a little too fast for me, or no, I don't want to do it that way, and I have to go, okay, you know, all right, something's there. And they do it a little bit differently, and they do the waltz a little bit differently, and they do it with a little bit more skip to the right, and I thought it was skip to the left. And it takes a couple more months or a few more weeks, but they ultimately emerge where exactly the flow, the harmony was wanting to take them. See, who am I to know someone's full journey, right? I don't even know my own, right? I don't know the divine destiny, the the incredible good that life has for me. I don't fully know that. I can't. Unless I leave completely my physical form. So when we begin to courageously say, wow, I want to really love all parts of me. One thing I did learn at this retreat, a couple things, but one was the word tantra means to connect all parts. Which, my business name being Accepted As I Am, I found that really nice. So let's go ahead and begin a process. Are you ready? Remembering that the process, that everything I've said is for one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to let go to what you already are. So with that understanding, don't be too concerned about getting it right or doing it wrong or right, right? Oh, I did say I'd tell you about the miracle this morning. An incredible lesson for me about service and hearing, being able to frame the calls of humans and the calls of the earth and a deeper compassionate understanding of why we don't listen. And again, I want to go into that process, but I'll tell you about that. I'll tell you that about that after the process. All right, what I'd like you to do is draw your attention into your breath. And just notice your breath, and as much as you can, letting life breathe you. Now put your attention on your feet. Earth has a negative charge, negative ions that literally rebalance your lymphatic system and heal your body. And the Father energy, the sky energy, has a positive charge. People are walking around with too much positive charge in their body. It throws off all the allergies and allergies that are showing up and immune system issues. And that's why they've seen immune system level, the more exposure you have to the earth and to nature growing up, the less chance of allergy, less chance of immune problems. We also know that study that shows it from a biochemical and immune system is also energetic, right? Energy before matter. So welcoming that negative charge up. And we're going to just together see it as a beautiful blue beginning to build in your feet. Putting all your awareness, all your attention on your feet. Those of you that know chakras, there's feet chakras that most of the time people walk around with them closed. So allowing those feet chakras to open up, beautiful. And then allow your awareness, knowing where your mind goes, your energy follows, breathing that blue up through your calves, your legs, into your hips. Beautiful. Into every organ of your body, your head, your arms, your fingertips. And then take a few breaths from the tips of your toes all the way to the top of your head. Bring that blue from the Earth Mother to travel up your body, rebalancing, recentering, allowing the health and vitality that's actually natural in your body, that your body is its own medicine when it's connected to the Earth. That you are an amazing auto-regulating self-healing mechanism, also called your body. Your body has the ability to, in its connection to the earth, has its ability to heal anything. And letting that earth energy now travel as that blue goes up your body, through your body, up the top of your head, and then around. Beautiful. And let it rain down like a waterfall back down into the earth. And taking now deep, slow breaths, letting that blue travel up through the body again and back around. Giving yourself permission to be yourself with each breath. Again, you don't have to do anything. Just listen to my words and breathe. That you are created in God's image, meaning the love, beauty, your magnificent, precious humanity. It's all wonderful, just the way it is. Can you make space now as you breathe? Imagine that blue embracing more of you. The things that you try to put outside of you. Maybe some pieces of your past. Maybe some challenges of the present. Can you let the blue embrace that? Letting this blue now hold space for that. As it travels up, it kind of puffs out more and let it come around those things. Very good. Beautiful. You got it. Letting it travel up the body, but also now on the outside of you, more of your other energetic bodies, but including those things. You got it. Now let the blue now get even wider as it begins to embrace the things you're proud of in yourself or the things your triumphs, giving that to the blue as well. Letting the blue encompass that. You can do it. Good. And now holding space for, you're doing it right now, holding space for both your dark and light parts, holding space for all of you. Being willing with each breath, letting that blue get in even wider, loving all parts of you. Because you are more amazing, more brilliant, more loved than you can even imagine, letting that blue get even wider. Good. Now let it all go. Let the image of the blue, let the thoughts go. Just let it all go. We don't want to hold on to anything. We want to be in that flow, that harmony, that grace. When you're in the flow, anything is possible. Just be in the flow, letting go. Go ahead and notice your breath in your body. Very good. And just notice the change. Notice the subtle differences without trying to label them. Just notice. This process that we did was really beyond words, beyond the mind. So just notice. Feeling God, feeling good. When you feel your true self, you feel good. You feel God. Maybe something's still processing through for you, too, and that's all right. Make space for that. When we can make space for something, I love the word space, and I think I talked about it last month. That is love. That is self-acceptance. It's acceptance of others, too, right? Making space for the parts of them that we may think are wrong. And loving them anyways. And then notice your breath again and allow your breath to be effortless. Let go to your true self that requires no effort and be curious about all this. Remember, we're always growing, we're always evolving, becoming more of what we already are. Good. And take a deep, deep breath through your entire body. Deep, deep, deep breath, deep breath, deep breath. And then when you get to the end of the in-breath, hold it. Hold it. Hold it a little bit more. Good. And now let it go. All right. So this morning I had a miracle of being taught by a turtle the deeper compassion and understanding of why we ignore the call of humanity or the call of the earth. It's just too overwhelming sometimes, right? Or maybe we've become cynical and haven't even realized it, that it doesn't matter what we do. So I had seen a turtle giving birth to her babies big turtle. She had to be at least 100 years old, maybe 50, but she was big in Hines Park. And I knew that the lawn was just going to destroy it because I have such a negative view of Hines Park, as it was just created for humans, not so much for nature. And I didn't realize it at the time. I didn't realize my cynicism with that part. I hadn't realized it. And then a week later, I'd forgotten it, you know. And I came back, and I would plan to like contact somebody and put up berries. I totally forgot. It was like I had my cynicism, and I didn't even know that cynicism was there, right? But I got an opportunity to see it, to love that piece of me. You know, like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because it's just, you know, it's going to be ruined anyways. Well, somebody had put up a barrier, caution tape, with a sign that said, these turtle eggs were born on June 21st. Had placed these signs in each corner. And I cried because I saw that this person made this effort, that they listened to the call. Because I could feel that the energy, the spirit of the turtle asking for help. But I didn't listen. I had people to help that day. I had, you know, things to do. I didn't listen. I was moving too fast. It's a little bit of, it doesn't matter. So then I was biking by that same spot, looking forward to seeing that barrier around the turtle's eggs. And the lawn guy had removed it because he didn't want to miss that patch of lawn. And I just broke down crying. I could feel in my tissues the pain of that turtle and its eggs. But I let that emotion move through. Remember, emotions are what make humans beautiful. It's what deeply connects us more to God. Our emotions are the key to a deeper union with creation. Again, don't forget, the over masculinated, meaning yang, society has patriarchal and Newtonian, has said the very thing that's our power is weak. So we've seen emotions this week, right? So anyways, I was crying and letting that emotion move through, and knowing that emotion is just energy in motion, and that on the other side of it would be a new me, a new understanding, even though it hurt like hell in the moment. And as the tears streamed down, I let them flow. I didn't judge them. On the other side, I felt an incredible union with the Earth Mother, with creation, with God. And that a greater commitment that I will never give up. I will never give up. And then I have a vision that, because we can change the story, the vision that we hold, the story that we hold can affect the consciousness of the planet. That I see millions of people waking up to their innate worth that is beyond any condition or circumstance. And then in knowing their innate worth, they feel that union with life, with life, that when they have life force going through their body, they can't harm another or harm an animal. That when you feel your worth, when you feel that connection, you can't slaughter and take a crowbar to the head of a cow for its milk because it's male and it's not going to reproduce. You can't take a bulldozer to the free-range meat. That if only 10%, if we cut our meat consumption by 10%, I'm not saying you have to be a vegetarian, over 100 million more people can eat. And that if you look at the protein content of spinach, of watercress, it has enough protein in there that we've been hypnotized into eating a certain way that's directly hurting our environment. The horses are being killed for free-range meat. That cows are the number one consumer of fish. Did you know that? They are the biggest carnivores of the ocean because we grind up fish. And that the methane gas that they're producing is creating more destruction. And that the fertilizers that we put on our lands when we're eating non-organic food is actually destroying our lakes. And that hundreds of studies have shown that the new gold in 40 years, the new gold will be water,
clean water. So keep on fertilizing your lawns, because that runoff goes right to the river, right to your water source. And it doesn't all get cleaned out. In fact, it gets recirculated back. They don't clean it all out. And then when you take a bath or a shower, you're reabsorbing those fertilizers. However, I also hold a miracle and know it's possible that as we love ourselves, we affect the energy of the planet and the energy of the animals, that you do matter and you do make a difference. That you listening have a personal responsibility to share this message. Let God express through you, in you, and as you. Let it be you. That loving yourself can be the most precious gift you give to the suffering children, that 18,000 dying of starvation every minute. Your self-love does make a difference. The acts, the little acts of kindness every day, you can make a difference. You listening are so important. Maybe your act of love will be letting someone know about this radio show. Please, let them know about all the incredible teachers on Body, Mind, Spirit Guide Radio. Thank you so much for taking this time. I deeply honor and respect you for having the courage to listen to this, to step out of the mass consciousness and realize that you matter, that you are like an your special human incarnation is like an acupuncture needle to the planet, opening up wherever you go, blessing wherever you go. You are so important. Your self-love, your expressions in all your unique ways. Let life run through you. I'm starting up the third Thursdays again, but this time we're going to be doing the eco-psychology, nature practices, radical self-acceptance, and conscious touch. And that next third Thursday, please bring a friend. $20, or if you can't pay, 20 hugs. It's going to be July 16th, and that's going to start at 7 o'clock, July 16th. Also, I'm going to be doing a tantric shamanism and breathing and radical self-acceptance with nature practices. It's unfortunately, I don't have a male facilitator to work with right now, so I have to make it all women because it's clothing optional. And that is going to be August 21st, 22nd, 23rd. Getting an incredible response. It's very transformative work. The breath work is phenomenal. It's and the shamanic practices that we're going to be doing, our shamanic eco-psychology practices, are going to be phenomenal. And that's the 21st, 22nd, 23rd of August. I do not have that information on my website, so you need to call me, 734-455-1438. And then, of course, in May, I'm going to – I forgot to tell you the story. I'll have to tell you next month. I walked on fire. Yes, I did. It's burning hot coals, and it was the union that we can even let fire love us, right? I'll have to tell you the story and the woman I got to meet. Anyway, she's going to be this woman. She's phenomenal, named Marty. She's going to be a shaman I met. She is going to facilitate a fire walk in the May retreat, as well as I have an indigenous friend that is going to do the cleansing the sweat lodge. And as well as, it's just going to be amazing. It's going to be one of the best retreats I've ever done. And that's going to be in May 2016. Yahoo! All right, sweethearts, I love you very much. Please know that you're loved. It does matter. And please allow yourself to be supported with every breath from the earth, from God, knowing that you fought to come to this earth in this incarnation. It's a very precious incarnation. I hope to hear from you. With school ending and graduation, I have space for a couple new mentees. It's nice to have that space now. All right, hope to hear from you. Much love. Take care.